So good morning. This is wonderful. Thank you. Thank you to those that are joining us through live stream. We're glad that you're here also. I know that it's not easy on a schedule to change and be here at different times. So thank you all for getting here. I've prayed that you got here safely. I've already prayed over you also. So I'm Beth Russell. I was lay leader, which is kind of an irony that I'll get to in a moment. We talk about the life of the church that I've known. I have pretty much lived in this area my whole life with a few, you know, years out here and there. Shalimar's always been my home, and so that's what I kind of want to talk about. And when I say Shalimar, I mean here, not the town. Okay, just so you know. I teach high school biology, so I'm used to talking to 14 to 18-year-olds. So I appreciate this crowd, and bear with me, because I can make them listen, so I'm hoping I can hold your attention a little bit this morning. And I want to start out with, ain't God good? And all the time? So I want to start by saying, too, that we're in stirrings, and God has been stirring me. This what I want to say, a short version of something I think God's put on my heart for a while. And by short, he said 5 minutes, so we'll see how that goes. I'm a teacher, and sometimes the lessons go a little longer, a little shorter. We'll see how what happens here. But just so you know, 2019, you know, we start a new year, and we're excited, right? We're excited. Things are going to change, and things are going to be good. Well, my 2019 hasn't started exactly like I wanted. So I'm sorry. I'm not going to cry, I promise. But I want you to know that that's okay, because we live our life not for this life. We live our life for what's coming. And we don't praise God because we have good things that happen. We praise God because he is God. Can I get an amen? Tammy, give me the thumbs up. Okay. Get through this. So we praise God because he's God, not because we prayed a prayer and it got answered or didn't get answered. We praise God because of who he is. Thank you. So my stirring is that I love my church family. I love you. Sometimes I sit at worship and I look around during the singing, during the praise, during the preaching. Well, not while we're praying, because I'm praying, but the other times. Okay, honestly. And I just thank God for all of you that are there. You mean so much to me. Let me just compose myself, because this is, it's an emotion, because I love where I am. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I would like to start with a quick prayer. If you'll bow your heads, I'm going to pray a Bible verse. It's Ephesians 4:2. May we be completely humble and gentle. May we be patient, bearing with one another in love. Amen. Okay, so you're my church family. So I grew up here. I went to elementary school here, and my parents brought me to church here. So some of you were my Sunday school teachers, and some of you really were my Sunday school teachers. There are people in this church sitting here in the pews that raised me up, and I thank you. And that was wonderful. I don't know how you did it, but you did it, okay? I don't think I was difficult, but there were some people around me that were difficult. Some of you helped raise my daughter, and oh my goodness, thank you for that. Thank you so much for that. And some of you I'm helping to raise, and I appreciate that, and I hope that I take that to heart and remember that always. And you don't have to be a little kid to be raised up, right? Amen? Okay. I'm a real believer in the adage, it takes a village to raise a child. And you can take that however you want, but this is my village, and it took a village to raise me, and it took a real village to raise my child, and I appreciate all that. So let me go back to, I was raised here in elementary school, and then we moved away. We went to Las Vegas, which my dad was military, and I'm going to tell you right now, that's not a place to raise a family. Anybody who lived in Las Vegas may probably know that. So we came back here, and I probably was on a wrong track at that point. And a friend of mine who I'd met before we had left and lived down the street, Joanna Stein, her parents, Wynn and Joan Stein, some of you remember, okay? And she asked me to go to youth group. And I was like, okay, you know, there's nothing else to do in Shalimar, right? Because it was just a blinking light in the town. This was a long time ago. And so I said, okay. And that changed my life forever. Because if she had not asked me to come to youth group, I don't know where I would be right now. I don't know if my parents asked her to ask me. I don't know if her parents asked her to ask me, or if she had a stirring that was like, this is a friend and I don't want to go to church alone, or I want her to come to youth group, or I don't know. I have thanked her for that, though, as adults, because we're still close friends. So she knows that it meant a lot to me. So the youth group kept me on the up and up. It really did. But I loved it. It wasn't like I went there for that purpose. I went there because I loved the people I was with. Some of the guys were cute, so I will say that. So that sometimes, you know, was something that made me come. But we had a good time. And after football games, instead of going to parties, we hung out at the Pizza Hut. We did things together. And they were friends to me and helped to keep me on the straight and narrow. And we had youth leaders, and there's at least one of them in the room here right now. And I used to think in my mind about the church that the pastor did everything at the church. And I'm sorry, Philip, because, yeah. I used to think that the pastor did everything at the church. In my mind, the church ran because the pastor did everything. Okay, so when we had a youth leader, Ron Dawson was the main youth leader that I had. I used to kind of feel sorry for him, because I thought maybe, you know, when a bunch of adults got together and decided what they were going to have to do at the church, that he just got the short straw. I was like, oh, I got the youth group. Oh, no. What am I going to do with these kids? But no, he was awesome. He really cared about each of us. We used to go to Panama City and listen to 2x2 at Noah's Ark. And just, we did car washes, and you guys supported us so we could go to Blue Lake Camp and all those wonderful things that we got to do as youth. Yeah, is right. So then I went off to college, got married, lived a life, came to church, wasn't so involved in church. Church was a Sunday morning, come for an hour, do your time, pray, you know, but had my life to live. And I had my daughter. Then my husband and I decided to separate. And I thought, I need to get back to church. I need to bring my daughter to church. And so I thought, well, there's a bunch of churches. I live over on the other side of town. And I thought, I'll go to Shalimar first, because that's where my comfort level was. And I'll just see. Let me see how I feel. And if it's not comfortable, I'll go someplace closer to where I live. So I came here, and the first day, I'm over in the courtyard, this was before, you know, the FLC, walking my daughter, trying to figure out where she's going to go, where I'm going to go, and Laurel, not this Laurel, it was a different Laurel, Laurel Francine Schmidt, her last name, and she was in the courtyard walking around, and she saw me, and I must have looked dazed and confused, and she said, good morning, can I help you with something? And I said, well, I'm not sure where I need to go. She walked us where we needed to go, took care of me, and I thought, I'm home. I've also thanked her for that several times. And so then I decided to sign up for an adult Bible study. And the adult Bible study that I signed up for, just went blank, Disciple One. And it was held over in the courtyard up where I think the youth rooms are now. And so I had my little five-year-old that was going to go to the nursery. And so I walk in, I get her to the nursery, and I walk up to the room, and I start to open the door. And it's like everybody's already quiet. They've got their books open in front of them. And I almost didn't walk in because I thought, I think this is going to be a little too much. They're already, I mean, like, I'm walking in the room at the beginning of the lesson, and they're already got the books open, and they're quiet and everything, and I'm thinking, I don't know about this. And I walked in and realized I was a half hour late, so it was all okay. You know, they welcomed me in. It wasn't a problem. I just thought, man, they started 10 minutes early, and I don't know. Bob O'Connor was the leader. Some of you know, remember Bob O'Connor. I had people like Ben Gordon in my class. This is going way back, right? And Dennis Blumenthal was in that class. And I just remember thinking how blessed we were to have somebody who was raised in the Jewish faith in that disciple class, because he knew so much about the Old Testament. You know, growing up as a kid, I knew about Noah's Ark, and I knew about Father Abraham, you know, the song and all that. But to really delve into that Old Testament and to understand it, because he grew up learning the Jewish Bible, and then to know somebody who learned that and actually converted to Christianity, it's a neat thing to know somebody like that and to hear their views on it. So I was really blessed in that Bible one. And then I went on and did the other disciple also for my adult Bible studies. And then at some point, I started to realize that the church was not run just by the head pastor, that there are other people involved in all of this. The Sunday school teachers, the people who set up the pews, the people who greet you, the people who sing for you and play instruments for you, and everything else in between. The coffee got made. Somebody made the coffee this morning. It didn't just appear. So we have people who step forward and make sure that things happen, and that's us. That is the laity. I don't know why I gave myself emotional things to talk about this morning. That was kind of crazy. So there was a lady who I met at the church. Her name is Norma Unruh. She and my daughter had a really close connection. It was really cool. She told my daughter when she was little, she said, "We'll do cartwheels together sometime." And so that was always the joke, because of course they never did, because Norma was not going to do cartwheels. But I think my daughter always had that hope, you know, that one day they're going to do cartwheels together. And I think one day they will, but it'll be somewhere else. But the reason I'm bringing up Norma is because she was a big part of my daughter's village. And they kept in touch. They actually wrote letters to each other, even when email and texting and all was, and Norma did all those things. They actually wrote letters and put stamps on them and put them in the mail back and forth to each other. And so that to me is very special, very special. But why I'm talking about Norma, not just that she was important to the village, the whole village. Raise your hand if you know somebody in this church that's important to you and you come to church and you're glad that they're here with you. Okay, thank you, thank you. I didn't know her husband, Gene. I probably had met him, but I didn't know him. I knew her post his death. But she told a story about his funeral, and I think it was his sister. I don't think it was Norma's sister. I think it was Jean's sister at the funeral came. And, of course, this is a very emotional time because he died young. He wasn't an old man. He died young. And her sister-in-law was so overwhelmed with the love that the church surrounded her with. The banquet that they had over there after the funeral, and just the people who surrounded her and the cards and the flowers. And her sister-in-law told her, "I want that." She didn't go to church. She didn't have a church family. And she told her, "I want that. I need that." And she went home and found a church. Amen. So thank you. You might not even realize what you do really makes a difference. Okay, so now everything at church isn't always rosy, right? I mean, we have disagreements. Decisions that are made by leaders don't always fit what we think maybe should happen, and that's going to happen anytime you get more than, what, two people together. So, there have been people who've left, and that's decisions we have to make. But like I said, we don't praise God because everything goes right in our life. We praise God because he's God. We're imperfect people. We need to be able to come to the sanctuary and be able to praise God together, no matter what. This is what's stirring in my heart. There's going to be some decisions made, or maybe not. I guess a no decision is still a decision, right? by the larger church, okay? And we may feel like we don't have a whole lot to say about it, but we really do, because we are a church family. No matter what comes from this general conference, thank you. He knows everything, so I can just look over to him. The general conference, whatever comes from that, we're a church family. We'll get through it. We'll make decisions for us, not for people in other parts of the world right now. We'll get through this together. We'll pray through it. We need to be able to come here and be comfortable with each other and love each other because God loves us. So I wrote here, how does a church family, my church family, get through hard situations? And the first thing coming to some people's minds may be, well, we need to form a committee. We're not going to form a committee for that, okay? We follow the word of God. We follow the word of God. And so right now I would like to go to the Bible verse. I didn't start with it. I'm ending with it. And it's actually several verses because I got to the main verse I wanted and I thought, well, what came before that? I'm like, oh my goodness, that's beautiful. What's the verse that came before that one? Oh my goodness, that's beautiful. So I needed to keep adding on some. So let me read through these, please. This is Paul's word to the Philippians. And some of you that are in my Bible study are going, she's going to quote Paul, because she doesn't usually understand what Paul says. They have to explain it to me like 3 or 4 times, and we have to read the footnotes to help Beth understand what Paul has said, because I don't always get him. But I think this is pretty clear. I'm going to start. This is chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, amen, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Life is hard. Church family's here for you. You need to be here for each other. We need to be able to praise our God together with love, with purity, with goodness, with thanksgiving in all things, not just in the good things. This is my 2019 stirrings. Ain't God good?